Good morning, 90-333-105. Best number to get us on for whatever's on your mind. Maybe a couple of years from now, but it looks like as if your kid, if they're, what, about 8 or 9 years of age now, they'll probably only have to do one transfer test as opposed to the two transfer tests. They talk about the AQE and I think the PPTC. I lose track sometimes of what these tests are called. But if you want to have a wide range of grammar schools to select from, you probably at this moment in time need to do both of them. They're going to be combined if they can agree on it. Let me speak to a former education minister and the DUP education spokesman, Peter Weir. Peter Weir, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's going to be a bit easier for the children. They go through a hell of a trauma at the moment, doing exams for weeks on end.
Well, what you've got at the moment is that most children that go through a transfer test, parents, generally speaking, will tend to put them through one or the other. But there are two problems with that. There's around about 2,000 pupils each year who do both AQE and PPTC. And I appreciate sort of we're getting into sort of acronym hell in this in terms of the lettering here. But essentially, for those 2,000 pupils, they will do five successive tests. The alternative is that if people are picking essentially one or other, and most schools will then adopt, each school will have to adopt one or the other. That would then restrict the choice of the number of grammar schools which they would be able to apply for. So, I think there's common sense in what is being proposed. It's something that whenever I was minister, I tried to encourage the two organisations and facilitate them coming together to begin discussions around this. And we're starting to see the fruition of those discussions.
Yeah, just with me, Peter Wiggs, Martin O'Mullier from Sinn Féin is on the other line. And Martin O'Mullier, incredible demand for the transfer test from Northern Irish parents who want their children to go to the best grammar schools. It's going to be a lot easier for them now.
Yeah, and I suppose, Frank, and I'm sitting here at Stormont, outside Stormont on a beautiful day, and if we want to create a better society, and they can see what a challenge that is for us here at Stormont, but wouldn't it be great if we could say all our schools are great schools, that we don't divide in between the elite schools and the other schools, and that every parent and every child have an opportunity to attend the very best school. And therefore, when I look at the type of society we want to create, I really wish that, and I say it's not only in terms of educational achievement, but in terms of economic achievement, in terms of what we want to achieve here in the city of Belfast, we know that the transfer test is damaging to the prospects, in particular working class, young people, in particular working class Protestants. And of course, that isn't only a personal tragedy for each person who's left behind, each child is left behind, but it's a tragedy for our society, because when I meet business associations, they say again and again and again, we love the high-achieving schools and we love the high-achieving youngsters, but your tail is too long. Too many children are let down by the current system. And just to finish, I met a beautiful presentation by the Joseph Rowntree Society in the Strandmillers College recently, where Will Herr, a former civil servant, and I heads up the Joseph Rowntree Trust, I suppose a social justice trust, where he was saying, look, we don't need to get any more evidence. All the evidence has been gathered and tells us the transfer test is failing the least of these. It's failing the weakest in society and failing our society overall. So while, you know, I listened with interest and I heard some of the proponents of the transfer test, the unregulated transfer test, speaking this morning about amalgamating, I think we're ignoring the much wider and greater problem which is staring us in the face.
And Peter Weir, do you accept that analysis that the most disadvantaged in terms of the transfer test is actually the working class Protestant child?
No, I don't accept that. Look, I think there are problems with underachievement. I think if you're going to try and tackle that, it's a much wider sphere, and actually where you need to concentrate in terms of tackling underachievement actually is probably before even the child walks through the door in P1. The problem, I suppose, for those who are opponents of academic selection, apart from the fact that it does produce across the board, Northern Ireland has consistently had the best results of anywhere in the United Kingdom, and that's not just in selective schools but also in non-selective schools, is that if you get rid of academic selection, you then move to a situation, as happens in England, where you have private schools charging £20,000 plus per year, where effectively those who get the best education are those very explicitly are those who can afford to pay that. And I think that creates a much more uneven society. But to some extent, today's announcement goes beyond that sort of wider debate, because whether you are pro-academic selection or anti it. And I suspect that Marcin and myself and others could debate this issue for days on end without there really sort of being any meeting of minds. It is abundantly clear there is a desire for it. It is here to stay. We're seeing record numbers of pupils enter those tests. And so I think what we need to actually do is take a look at a practical way forward, which is saying that if there's going to be academic selection, then let's at least ensure that we have the best possible system, the one that places the least stress on parents and pupils. And therefore, I think that the moves, the practical moves that are being suggested by AQE and PPTC are actually a very positive way forward. It actually makes a practical difference to parents, to pupils and to schools.
Well, Martin O'Malley, it's hard to argue with that. It is here to stay. There's a demand for it, and one test is going to be better than two separate tests.
Well, I mean, I would like to see all these tests abandoned, and I'd like to see all our schools open to children of all ability without this academic selection at age 11. But I'm going to say something, Frank, you're not going to hear very often. I am with the Catholic bishops on this one, and the Catholic bishops have made the call. Of course, they do control, they don't control clearly the Catholic grammar sector, but the Catholic bishops, I think, made the call based on the teachings of social justice and of the Bible, that you can't say to over half the population, look, you're being cut out and being left behind because you're working class. And yet the evidence is that these elite grammar schools are denied the working class. I want to say just one other thing, Frank. I mean, I'm very proud of all the schools in my constituency, whether it's Methody or Inster or Aquinas or Rathmore or whatever. But, you know, I work, and this weekend was the 25th anniversary of Aquinas, a grammar school in South Belfast, and its neighbour, St Joseph's College in South Belfast, both set up at the same time. But when I visit St Joseph's, which is a second level school, secondary school, don't use that term anymore because of its pejorative connotations. But when I visit St Joseph's entire physical education facilities are a tarmac-adamed car park. And Aquinas, and God bless them and good luck to them, have some of the best sporting facilities in the entire city. When I see at St Joseph's, it's a building which is crumbling, falling apart. Aquinas got a new building in fair play to them. And that, for me, is iniquitous, unacceptable, and it's against the principles. It's against the principles, not only the principles of my politics, whatever brand you want to call that, republicanism or whatever, but it's against the principles, I think, of a fair and just society. And the sooner we say to the grammar schools, and some grammar schools have been doing this, they've been saying, okay, over a period of time, we're going to make academic selection a thing of the past. We're going to give every child a chance at this school. Of course, those who are academically gifted will make sure that they don't lose out one iota. But we're also going to try and bring the children who are being left behind and who then end up without the qualifications, who can't provide the jobs we need if we're going to really build a vibrant society, a vibrant economy.
Well, I tell you, you know, the elephant in the room here is the fact that we don't have an education minister. And I'm just wondering, with the weekend that has been in it and the reporting fallout from the weekend and the comments from Ms. Foster and the comments from Ms. McDonald, I'm just wondering, are we now any closer to you guys all getting back together?
I could say to Peter, I'm sitting here outside Stormont waiting for you, but you're inside already. Frank, I think we should all take heart from the gestures that have been made over the recent weeks. I was delighted to see the DUP leader at Clonus at the weekend, delighted to see the young two leaders, Michelle and Mary Lou, meeting Prince Charles recently. I think the mood music needs to change. This is always a challenging time of the year for all the reasons you understand. And, you know, Peter knows there was a deal there in February. The sooner we can get back to that and get back into, instead of me sitting outside this beautiful building, inside doing work, the happier I'll be.
And Peter, where?
Well, I suppose, strictly speaking, I'm in my constituency office at the moment. From our point of view, we wouldn't have seen Stormont fall in the first place. We didn't think there was a need for it to be brought down, and we would be in there tomorrow. But I would welcome, I think, the actions at the weekend. I would very much commend my party leader, Arlene Foster, and what she did. I'm very supportive of that. And I think on either side, if actions can be taken which can, if you like, help build those community relations, whether that's by unionists or nationalists, I think those are very much to be welcomed. I think one of the issues Martin has alluded to is a little bit surprised in terms of drawing out where particular schools were. You know, we do need to see capital investment in our schools. We need to see it on the basis of equality between the schools. I could say that for much of the time over the last decade or so, Sinn Féin have been in control of the education department, so I'm a little bit surprised he's critical of the capital development that's out there. But I think there's always more can be done in terms of capital. We need to ensure that we have the best facilities for all our children.
Okay, Peter Weir, thank you. Just one final question to you, Martine. Can you see Mary Lou at an Orange Parade in the near future?
Well, you know, one of the dreams I have is that Balmoral Avenue in my constituency, where I see, I used to go out for a run very early on the 12th, and I come back, people are setting out the picnics and the deck chairs and settling in for what clearly is a very joyous celebration for those people watching, that the vast majority of unionist people here. And I look forward to a day where I can, and some of my friends have done this, can stand again at Balmoral Avenue and admire the bands and the music as well. And that would bring me back, Frank, to 1970, when I collected bottles at the Finnahy Field after the parade and was able to get 5 pence or five, I think it was 5 day at the time, or 5 new pence for each bottle. So let's hope we get to a situation where we normalize the celebrations and traditions of this society, and it becomes a thing of normality. We may not be there yet, but keep me a deck chair on Balmoral Avenue, and let's see what can be done.
Well, come and take a picture of that. Martine O'Mullier, thank you very much indeed. Peter Weir, former Education Minister, thank you as well. Your opinions on the main reason that we're having this conversation, the one-stranded test now as opposed to the two strands, is it a positive step, or would you like to see the exam being completely done away with? You can let us know, 0289033105. Good morning, Patricia.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, go ahead, Patricia.
My point is, my daughter is doing the AQE this November, and her brother and sister will be doing it the following year. Why not for that, whenever they're planning to reintroduce this one test, hold it in the primary school that the children go to? Because it's a lot less stress on the children if it's in their primary school, a familiar surrounding, instead of having to go to a strange school.
Yeah, I think they are moving towards that, aren't they? That had been the plan, to ensure that they were doing the test in more inviting surroundings. They'd already spoken about that, hadn't they?
Well, I mean, I hadn't heard that, but whenever I did the 11 plus, and this is not just yesterday, I had to do it in my primary school classroom, and the rest of school were off, and the Peace Heavens got the rest that day off.
But that is true. I remember that as well. It was, I suppose, an environment that you were familiar with, but you were still petrified. There's no question or doubt about it. I remember the day I did the 11 plus. I was petrified. I thought the entire rest of my world depended on passing it. I made an absolute hames of it. There were 100 questions. I only answered about 72 of them. And we used to do test papers whereby, you could do them and 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 do them. But the day you're put in the spotlight, can't do that. That was my experience of the 11 plus. Patricia, thank you.